Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. When we talk about fashion and looking good on this program, we usually talk about the women. Tonight, it's time for the men. Time to talk about the changing fashion trends we're seeing on men who are looking absolutely incredible on the streets, at work, in church, and everywhere else. And joining me tonight to give us all the deets for looking good is suit maker and fashion designer Miguel Wilson. If you have a comment, a question about some of the fashion trends that you're seeing men wrap themselves in this season, give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Miguel, thank you so much for joining the program again.
Hey, Harold, thank you so much for having me.
Hey, man, I tell you, we have seen so many different fashion trends for men, young and old, right now. And for some people who are not keeping up, it may be a little confusing for them. When we look at, you know, the changing weather, we're about to come out of spring, get into summer. But I know the suits are the things that men are really kind of focusing on right now. From your perspective, what's happening?
Well, we are definitely entering into a different phase. Think about it. Historically, fashion trends were always set by, you know, the big brands and, you know, what you see in the magazines and things of that nature. And social media has really changed that whole landscape. So now we have a lot of influencers and people kind of showing you different things. So I think because of that, you're seeing a lot more variety in fashion and a lot of more individualism, if you will. So everyone's not doing the exact same thing. They may do some things similar, but, you know, individuality is definitely being a bigger part of fashion these days.
Mm-hmm. No, you please. Go ahead. Finish your point.
So, you know, with suits, the summertime now, and, of course, color, I'm doing a lot of color. I'm glad you asked me from my perspective, because a lot of times, you know, people ask about fashion trends, and, you know, if you ask 10 different fashion designers what the trends are, you're going to get 10 different answers. So, from my perspective, you know, color and lightweight fabrics, wool, lightweight wools, Super 150s and so forth. So those are things I think that are trending more for men's fashion in the suiting world.
Mm-hmm. Explain that term you just used about the Super 50, because I think a lot of guys, even those who may go in to look for suits and the like, and they see these terms, and they may not really be familiar with them. So break that down for us.
Right. In layman's terms, suits or thread are measured. If you measure a thread, that the Super 150's thread is going to be smaller than a Super 100 thread. So the higher up you go in the Super, the smaller the thread. And because it's a smaller thread, you have to use a lot more of it to make a suit than you would with a thicker thread. But that finer thread creates a finer fabric. So it's, in theory, better quality. Not always the case, though. So I tell my clients, don't always go by, you know, the weight or the Super number. You know, really feeling the fabric, wearing it, how it drapes you is a big part of it. So, but in layman's terms, it just means the size of the thread.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking to fashion designer and suit maker Miguel Wilson about men's style. What should men be wearing right now? And what's his take on the the ever-changing fashion trends that we've been seeing, oh, now for the past couple of years, and the explosion of colors and textures. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. One of the things, Miguel, that we have seen a lot of over the past, I don't know, say 2 years or so, it seems to me that we've seen suits that are no longer just solids. We've seen plaids. We've seen big, bold patterns. We've seen checks. It's almost a throwback to the 1970s with an update. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, well, plaids, window panes, suits with patterns are great to have in your wardrobe. And quite frankly, you know, it's one of the things that's missing in a lot of men's wardrobes. But I love it because it enables you to really get a variety of looks, matching a jacket, a solid jacket with a plaid pant, and so forth. These are things that, you know, if you just have a closet full of solid suits, it can get boring. So plaids and patterns add more excitement to a look.
And one of the things that we've seen a lot of, I saw on social media just yesterday, it is prom season, and we're seeing a lot of young men who are about to take the big step, not only with the prom and with graduation. They're wearing these sport coats. They're not wearing suits, but it's a sport coat with dark pants, and those sport coats have, you know, flowers and all kinds of other designs. Talk to me about that. What's happening with that?
Yeah, well, you know, like I say, it's going back to individuality. A lot of people want to be able to express themselves and being able to have different patterns, having, you know, I do a variety of things. I have jackets and suits, you know, with flowers, with paisley patterns, you know, with other types of prints. It just enables guys to incorporate, you know, some of their personality into the looks. And, you know, these are generally things that guys are wearing more in social settings, not necessarily to work. Mm-hmm. But, you know, people, you know, you have certain things you want to wear to work and, you know, maintain a certain image there. But when you go out with your friends, you know, it's your opportunity to really let your hair down and let your own personality come through your fashion. Fashion, by in nature, is the expression of who you are. You know, we judge people by how you look and how you dress and so forth. So a lot of us want to dress in a way that speaks to who we are. So without saying a word, you kind of understand, or at least, you know, get, you know, learn who's interested in people in the room.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about men's fashion and the changing trends that they are putting on their backs and on their feet. We're going to talk also about what we used to call high waters, but hey, it seems to be the thing right now. If you have a comment or question, give us a call. DeMarcus calling from D.C. DeMarcus, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I just wanted to share about the way I'm dressing this summer. I'm a bigger guy, so, you know, I kind of already attract attention. And so when I dress, I like to I wear something with a pop of color. So I might just, you know, if my bottoms are kind of neutral color, then I might wear something that's like orange. Or if my outfit is kind of classic, I might throw on a hat or some really nice loafers. And this summer, you know, it's all about having the thighs out. So you see men wear the shorter shorts, not the ones, you know, all the way down to the knee. You know, I think the saying is the sun's out, the thighs out. So, yeah. And if I can, I would just like to shout out Malcolm Staples. He's a custom clothier here in D.C. And I've done a lot of fashion shows with him, and he's a great, you know, person who I go to when I need something very unique.
Well, let me ask you. You said you're a bigger guy, DeMarcus. I mean, what size suit do you wear? What is a bigger guy when you say a bigger guy?
So I think my jacket is like 54.
Okay. You're a size 54?
Yeah, and I'm also blessed at the bottom. So, you know, I got to be very conscious of how the suits fit and where, you know, I might not need as much room in the, like, the bottom half of my legs as I do around the butt.
Right.
So making sure I don't, I get my pants tapered, but making sure I don't look like I have bell bottoms on. And, you know, if it's a jacket, making sure it has space in the right places and it's not poking out in some places. So, you know, sometimes it can be a real task trying to find clothes as a bigger guy. That's also something to point out.
Yeah, without a doubt. Now, how tall are you?
5'10".
Okay, 5'10", size 54. So, yeah. So definitely, you've got some thickness to you. But no matter what size your body is, people like DeMarcus, you always want to look good. And like you said, you know, sometimes that pop of color helps you stand out. DeMarcus, thank you so much for giving us a call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about men's fashion trends, how men can look good, what they may need to do to update their wardrobe as the weather kind of warms up. We're talking to Miguel Wilson, suit maker and fashion designer. So let's go back, Miguel, if we can, to guys like DeMarcus, mm-hmm. where, you know, the going trend, and we've seen this for years, for example, has been the flat front pants.
Mm-hmm.
But is that for everyone? Especially, is it for, I know it looks really, really gay, really great on smaller guys, but we know that all fashion and all trends aren't for everyone. What say you about that?
Well, you know, I was a fashion designer when pleated pants were in. They mm-hmm. were the thing, and everybody wanted pleated pants. And it was definitely a challenge getting a lot of my clients to get ahead of the curve and switch to flat front pants. But I've seen every body type wear flat front pants with no issue. I think that you can. And just speaking to DeMarcus' point, and, you know, he's a bigger guy. You know, I've seen small guys look terrible in suits. I've seen big guys look great in suits. And what it boils down to is really understanding your body type and how clothes should fit you. So, you know, DeMarcus says he has a suit made, and clearly that's working for him. So everyone's not a typical body type to wear something out of a store. So you may have to get your things made to get the proper fit, the proper look. And, you know, my saying is that the number one element to a great look is the fit. You can take any fabric you want. You can take any color you want. But if it doesn't fit you well and you pay a lot of money for it, it doesn't matter. It is not going to look great. But having a great fit is more important than any other aspect of what you choose to wear.
Mm-hmm. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about men's fashion trends, how to make sure that the men look good this year because, you know, we are in the spring season, getting ready to head into the summer, and you want to make sure that whatever the weather, you have it together. So let us first of all talk about what we used to call the high water pants. I remember growing up that if your pants leg, if you could see your socks, you know, it was, you know, high waters, you know, kids would tease you. We tease the kids, and, you know, you would always talk about, you know, even as an adult, when you get your pants tailored, there were all kinds of ways in which the cuffs were tailored. Of course, there was the 3/4-inch cuff, or even if you had a no cuff, it was a full break, a partial break in the cuff, or no break at all. But now we are seeing, I've seen some ashy ankles out there.
You and I both.
I've seen some ashy ankles. Where is that trend coming from?
Well, it came from the 50s. You know, it was a style that was common with young people during that era. And as you know, fashion just has a way of repeating itself, and maybe just with a new twist to it or whatever. But at the end of the day, a lot of things you see in fashion is something that's being revisited. Today, we don't even call it high waters. We call it cropped. You know, guys want their pants cropped. So it's a shorter look, showing the ankle. And, you know, some guys are very extreme, want to show even higher than ankle. But it's really a trend that mostly younger people, I'd say, in it, you know, 30 and under, trying to gravitate to. You generally don't see older men wearing that style. So it's a trend, but it's something that's more trending for younger generations. I do clothes for all ages. I just finished, you know, prom season. We do a lot of clothes for prom kids. And most prom kids, you know, want their pants cropped. They want, you know, and their parents would be in the store with us. Like, man, don't do that. Don't cut it. And I have to explain to the parents, hey, this is his era. He's dressing to appeal to his crowd, his audience at his school. So this is what they do. So you can't expect him to dress like you, and vice versa. So I think it's, you know, you find that the trends aren't always across the board. It may just be relevant to, you know, certain age groups.
Yeah. I need to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to talk more about these fashion trends that we're seeing with men. We're going to talk about this no socks look, even though there may be some kind of sock in there. We're going to talk about accessories. We're going to talk about shirts. Of course, and my favorite topic, tailoring. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. We're talking about men's fashion trends. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we're talking to suit maker and fashion designer Miguel Wilson. He's on the program to make sure that the men are putting their best foot forward when it comes to looking good in their clothes, particularly amid these changing fashion trends that we have seen, mostly in some of the young guys, but I think you have some other more mature fellows that are trying to stay fashion forward, trying to keep up. If you have a comment, if you have a question about how you should look, or even if you have a man in your life and you have some questions about what's happening in the fashion trend world, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Okay. Miguel, I need your help with this sockless shoe look. We already got the crop, or as I earlier described it, the high water look, that cropped look for the cuffs. But now we're seeing, you know, guys with, you know, their dress shoes without socks. Where does that come from? Your thoughts about that?
Well, I'm a guilty party myself, so I don't wear socks much. But I tell you, the thing is, for us guys who like our suits to be tailored, slim cut, okay, and fitted, I find it difficult to wear socks because if you wear your pants really fitted, it's not enough room. It looks like it'll hold your pants up. So going sockless gives you a better look, and your pants flow better down. You know, you still get the slim look without it looking too tight. So even a thin sock, if you have a really thin, really fitted pant, even a thin sock can get caught in the pants. So I just personally prefer not to because it's just a cleaner look for me. It is something that, it's been around for years. And it's, you know, it used to be just wearing maybe slacks and no socks, and now it's, you know, we go to formal occasions with no socks, you know. So it's definitely a trend that has taken and grown over the years.
So here's my deal with this. And I think that in in a situation where a man has a really, you know, great suit and he is just polished from head to toe. And I think it really, really looks good. A little fashion forward, maybe, I get it. But it really looks good. But here's my issue, and maybe you can help me with this as well, is that if you put an unsocked foot in these shoes, you've got to deal with, you know, perspiration, which is why, I mean, for example, when you see guys walking around in the, you know, the athletic slides, a lot of them have socks because their feet sweat. And you can't walk around. So isn't that the same situation with dress shoes?
Yes, it is. And the solution is they make socks specifically for that look. So you can still, they buy their socks that are made that don't come up above the shoe level so that they're hidden. They just cover your foot. Second thing I strongly recommend, and I do myself, is I spray my shoes with a foot spray inside the shoes. It's, you know, something to keep it, you know, kill the moisture and have my shoes smelling all right. So when I take my feet out, it doesn't smell as bad because you have, you know, odor eaters or whatever in your shoes. So spray, and also using the hidden socks. That, you know, that's a whole nother invention that came out because of that look.
Mm-hmm. I've tried it, but what I have found is that they always slip on my heel, and then I end up getting the back of it bunched up under my foot, and I tried it about a year or so ago, and after that I said, oh, the heck with it, because it just
what size do you wear?
Size shoe 11, sometimes 11 and a half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get a bigger foot, so.
Yeah, I guess I do.
You know, they generally make them, you know, one size fits all, you know, so they don't necessarily fit all of them.
Yeah, it just wasn't comfortable for me, and so I really kind of left it alone. But here's the other question also, when you're talking about trying to fit within the trend, is it only for loafers or is it also for tie-up shoes?
I look at it strictly a loafer style. I don't see it being worn with lace-ups. Mm-hmm. I think lace-ups are more require you wear socks that look just doesn't look. I think that the whole no-sock look was made specifically to be worn with loafers.
Okay. So here's something else I wanted to talk about, because this is something that I've seen. I've seen guys wear these kinds of suits, and I've also seen a lot of this on social media, where we're starting to see this artificial material. It is what, polyester updated for the 21st century, where it's always in a suit or a pant that is solid. It's not a patterned suit or pant. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like rubber, where you've got this stretch material, and you know it kind of reminds me of a scuba diver's wetsuit.
Gotcha. Neoprene is one of the terms used for that fabric. You know, you see it a lot in track suits and things of that nature, more so than and suits itself. However, some people do make suits out of it.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of suits like that. And as I said, I saw it on social media, where you would see, you know, advertisements and other fashion-forward websites, men's style websites or social media sites, where the guys, you know, they talk about how comfortable they are. And they certainly look good, but then again, you keeping in mind that the guys who are wearing these suits, you know, their physiques are model perfect. They're slim guys. They're, you know, they've got six packs and the whole bit. But talk to me about, like you said, this neoprene trend.
Well, you know, women learned this years ago, and you know that when you have fabric that stretches, and you want to wear something form-fitting, it's more comfortable and it lays better. Okay, so the neoprene fabrics and the poly fabrics, stretch cotton fabrics, are all been created to help men create look, get the look they desire, the fitted, tailored look, without, you know, something real expensive. You know, it's generally not too, it's usually price, budget type of pricing on that stuff. But, you know, it gives them the fit and the comfort that they desire, that you just can't get in a non-stretch fabric.
Mm-hmm. How do you clean it?
That type of stuff you can generally just wash, you know, cold water or something.
Now, but with that, now by hand or in a washing machine? And my other question is, if you, with this kind of rubbery neoprene material, will it wrinkle? And if it does, how do you get the wrinkles out?
Well, there's different qualities of that. I actually use that for some of my, I have some track suits I make with that fabric. And my personal ones, I put in the dry cleaner, so I don't wash them myself. But they can be washed, cold water, can be washed, no problem. And, you know, generally that fabric doesn't, you don't have a problem with it wrinkling much. So mm-hmm. It's easy care, very easy care.
Yeah, which I think that's one of the things that a lot of people, a lot of men want. They do mm-hmm. want something that looks good, but is also, as you say, easy care.
Right.
And that they can, you know, make sure that it's clean, throw it back on, and they can kind of roll with it. Because one of the other things that I'm wearing one of these stretch shirts today where it fits well, but it really is stretchy. And even the Levi's that I'm wearing now, and I'm used to, you know, the old school 501 blues with the, you know, mm-hmm. the five buttons, but now they all stretch and they feel good, you know, especially for those of us who are expanding sometimes in areas where we don't necessarily want to.
Right.
But I think is that really is where we are and where we're going. I mean, no more. We're not going to continue to see 100% cotton or 100% silk or anything like that. We're definitely going to see blends with this Lycra material.
You know, I think people want to look good, but they also want to feel comfortable. Okay, and those stretch fabrics do both. They allow you to still look good, you know, be more form-fitted and so very, very comfortable. But they also, you know, give you the tailored look. You know, generally don't need to have them, you know, altered to fit, to get the desired fit. They generally fit like that straight off the rack.
Yeah.
So it's the time we end in terms of people want comfort and they want to look good. So they don't want to compromise their comfort to look good. You know what I mean? Or vice versa. Mm-hmm.
Before I go back down into this deep dive of men's fashions, I do want you to talk about this event that you are part of this weekend happening at the National Harbor. It's sold out, but I think people still need to hear about it and what the purpose of it is. Go right ahead.
So I created the Black Tie Experience, Miguel Wilson Black Tie Experience last year. I was initially doing, I have an event in Atlanta called the Atlanta Fashion and Polo Classic, and I wanted to do that here, but certain limitations, and I just came up with a nice event that allows us. I wanted to create a luxury event that celebrates our culture. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of times when we think about black owned or black events and stuff, it's never with the term luxury attached to it. So that's why I made it a black tie event, and all the gentlemen have to wear black dinner jackets. The ladies wear black gowns. I mean, the gentlemen wear white dinner jackets, and the ladies wear black gowns. So, and we celebrate our culture in several ways. One, we you know, it's pretty much all black businesses we deal with. So the food, even the spirits, we serve a lot of local black-owned spirits, such as Whiskey Wright, Alisar Vodka, Gin, Mohees Brandy. So it's something, you know, so we have a what we call a black spirit tasting bars, and that gives these companies the exposure because normally we don't have an opportunity to try these things. They don't carry them in the stores, and, you know, they don't have necessarily the marketing budgets to put these things in front of people. So by having this event and opportunity for people to try these things, they can now go to the stores and request that we carry these brands. So on one level, the event is about promoting us in a luxurious manner. But the purpose also is to help with my foundation, which is Ride to the Olympics. And our purpose is to help expose inner city kids to horses and polo, show jumping.
That's a whole different world.
Yeah, it is. So at the Polo Classic 2 years ago, 2019, I founded the Morehouse Polo Team, which is the first and only historically black college polo team around. So that was one of our initiatives. And now what we're trying to do is help get some kids to the Olympics. And the reason I named it Ride to the Olympics years ago is because there's never been an African-American to represent the United States equestrian team in the Olympics. So it's, you know.
Well, and look, having, you know, spent some time on a horse myself, as well as in the dirt.
Right.
You know, yeah, I mean, I really think that this is an opportunity for, you know, for exposure, and I really appreciate that because I ride English, not Western.
Yeah. Oh, wow, nice.
Yeah, and but yeah, it's been a minute.
Right. So, you know, I'm a polo player.
And okay.
One of the things, you know, I grew up in Northwest Washington, D.C. I grew up in Washingtonia, is probably familiar with Tallahouse, North Capitol Street, New York Avenue. And my parents sent me to a camp one summer, and I fell in love with horses. And that whole experience, being around horses and then being around horse people, helped to expose me to different things that, you know, a lot of my friends in my neighborhood had no clue about. So being able to do that, I credit my success to because of that exposure, being able to go to college, being able to travel, being able to do a lot of things. And the whole idea is that it does the same thing for other kids, giving them that exposure to this other world that exists. You know, it could be, maybe you fall in love and want to become a veterinarian. Maybe in the polo world, you have a lot of guys who own companies that sit on boards. It could get you opportunities to go to college, get you opportunities to get jobs, or even help in funding a business. So exposure is everything.
Yeah.
You can only do what you are exposed to, and the people you're around are a big part of what you are exposed to.
And you would want to make sure that you are appropriately attired when you are, you know, in this kind of mixed company.
Yes, exactly.
And I want to get back to that because one of the things that I think is really important to you. You really can't throw on a suit without a great shirt. And one of the trends that we've seen where, you know, guys are no longer tucking their shirts in, they're having the shirts hang out. And so talk to me, first of all, about that, because one of the other things that I've seen is some shirt makers are now making shirts that are specific, dress shirts that are specifically tailored to be worn outside of the pants and not tucked in. You know, have you done that kind of thing? Do you recommend that kind of thing? Your thoughts about it?
So, you know, there are brands out there that, you know, built the whole brand around being able to wear your shirts outside of your pants or whatever. And to me, it's not something that I like. I just think that the presentation isn't clean. It just doesn't, you know, it's a very casual look.
Mm-hmm.
And for a guy, if you want to make an impression, if you want to walk in a room and, you know, let your presence be felt, that's not the look to do it in. Okay. So I'm just, there may be places and times and occasions to do something like that. Maybe somewhere you don't really care, but if you want to make an impression, you know, I strongly recommend against doing something like that. I'm not a fan of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So talk to me about shirts. When you make a shirt, and I'm talking about a dress shirt, not a formal shirt necessarily, but a shirt that needs to be worn with a suit. How should that shirt be tailored? What should happen with the cuff, whether it's a barrel cuff or a French cuff, collars, you know, the whole bit? Because I think even though individuality, as we've been talking about this, is really, really important, but I think also from the perspective of someone who wants to make sure that the presentation is best, there's a fine line between looking crazy and looking sharp.
Right. Well, you know, different body types, well, people feel they look better in one thing or another. So I think, you know, being able to see the variety of options gives you, you know, a feel for what's best for you, what you like to see. I personally am a fan of having your shirts made because you can get the options that best fit you. You know, you have guys out there with small necks. You have guys out there with fat necks and guys with long necks and some guys with no necks. And so there's no one design that covers everyone. I just think that, you know, as a designer, I want to be able to show guys options. And then that's the fun part about having your clothes made, having a suit made, or even your shirts made, is the ability to be able to, you know, design it and get the options that best fit your physique and your personal style.
So let's talk about the collars, for example, because you said you've got guys with longer necks, slimmer necks, short necks, no necks. Are there certain collar styles that are better for some guys than others? Because in the one that I that comes to mind for me is if someone has what you may say is, you know, no neck, but they want a spread collar, it looks awkward to me. So how do you, what kind of recommendations do you make to make sure that the guys that you make these shirts for are looking good depending on the physicality of their necks?
So, you know, a lot of clients, my clients come to me and they're open to my suggestions and recommendations. And that's what I do. I share with them my thoughts and what I feel to be the best look based on their physique and size and so forth. You know, there's no magic sauce. I think that people need to see themselves in different things to really understand. That's why, you know, even when my stores, we allow you to try on different things so that you can see what fits you best. We as men are visual.
But can you give me an example? I mean, we get that. But, you know, as I said before, you know, some guys may want, you know, a collar that is really, really spread and wear a tie with it. And I know that there are still some foundational rules that come with how that tie may work on a different physique. So kind of give me a list of some examples of what you would suggest and some do's and don'ts when you're talking about shirt collars, for example.
Right. So I am a fan of spread collars for myself, so I do like that. But you got to understand, you know, most guys don't understand the elements of a collar. Okay. So you have, number one, the length of the collar. Secondly, you have the spread of the collar. And then you have the collar height. So these elements make up what a collar ultimately looks like. A big part of that, too, is, you know, if you have a certain collar style, then you want to have a if you're wearing a necktie, you want to have a knot that complements that style, too, as well. So me personally, I like a what they call a cutaway collar. So you have a spread collar, and then you have called a cutaway, which comes back a little further. And then, you know, not a big knot, but a medium-sized knot. That's my look, and I'm fine doing it every day. I don't need to switch and do different things. I think that makes me feel comfortable. And being able to see yourself in different collars and then with different types of knots to see the look that you feel is more complementary to your neck.
Mm-hmm. When you talk about, and I'm not to belabor the point about the collars, but I know there was a time when I was having my shirts made years ago when I was in television, and one of the things, and I did like a higher collar, but eventually, you know, the collar breaks down. How do you shop for a collar that gives you, if you're going to use a high collar, for example, is that just something that just happens when the shirt just gets older? Or, I mean, what do you suggest and what do you do to make sure that a collar, you know, stays looking as pristine as possible?
That is a great question. So if, for instance, I'm wearing a tie, then you must use stiff collar stays. You know, they make metal collar stays you can use, or you can use the stiff plastic ones. But the collar stays would help hold your collars up and keep them without folding over and looking like they're old and used. That's when you're wearing a tie. When I'm not wearing a tie, I use this invention called a perky collar, which I love wearing it when I don't wear a tie because it helps your collar sit up high above your lapel of your jacket. It keeps the shape and form without you having to fool with it all day. So with the tie, I use stiff collar stays. And it's important, collar stays come in different lengths. So understanding the length of your collar and wearing the right length is important for it to work properly.
Mm-hmm.
But in a without that, I really like the perky collar because I've exposed so many. We carry them in our stores, and some of our clients live by them now, you know, particularly guys that just might wear sport coats a lot and without a tie. So it's definitely a must-have.
Mm. Your thoughts about ascots? We've seen a lot of that. I like to wear an ascot, but I think one of the struggles that I have often had with wearing an ascot is that you want it to be seen, but you also want it to stay in place. And when you're using fine silk in the tying of an ascot, it often won't sit still, and I find myself on occasion fiddling with it. Your thoughts about that?
Yes, so I like ascots myself, and I found, you know, I do a little trick, and that's like I tie it in a knot and then fold it over. So that knot holds it right there. So normally, you know, when you tie the way I was originally taught to tie a ascot, you know, you kind of tie like a shoe and you just flip it over. And you're right, it can move and you got to adjust with. But if you tie a knot in it first and then flip it over, it stays in place. Now, my pet peeve about men wearing ascots is too often, particularly younger men, when they want to do it, it's almost like they feel like no one's going to see it unless they pull it way out of their shirt and have it kind of hanging over,
mm-hmm.
You know, and that, you know, I think ascots are meant to be, you look like you're trying too hard when you do that. I think it looks much better when you kind of keep it inconspicuous where, you know, you can see it, but it's not like you're just making that to be, oh, I got an ascot on today, you know? So
how many buttons do you open? I mean, you've got your collar button, then you have a button under that, and I know some guys, you know, collar button under, and then the third button. Do you suggest keeping?
I like two buttons open.
Two buttons open.
Yeah, two buttons open. Mm-hmm. You know, but still having it in the shirt versus puffed out. You know, some guys pull it up so you can see it more. Mm-hmm. But, you know, two buttons with it. you know, tucked in pretty nice, kind of inconspicuously. You can see it. You know, that looks like you're not trying too hard, and you know, can it looks sexy.
Real quick, because I only have about a minute, and I wanted to make sure we got to this. You know, for guys, you see, you know, the guys in these suits and the suits, the tailored suits, but they seem a bit snug. How should a suit feel when?
That's a great question.
When you put in, and go ahead, real quick.
So comfortable. That's the first thing. You want your suit to feel comfortable. You don't want it to feel too restrictive. But one problem I have is too often, particularly guys who don't wear suits a lot, they expect it to fit like a sweatsuit or something or some jeans, you know, and suits aren't designed to give you that level of comfort. So you want to feel comfortable, but you're not doing exercise in it, so you don't need it to be, you know, fit you like a tracksuit or some jeans.
Mm-hmm. But you also don't want it to be so tight that you can't breathe.
No, not at all. You don't want to be so tight that you can't operate, like sit down and stand up without splitting your pants.
Ooh,
yeah, I've seen that. But you don't want it so slim that you can't get them on. You know, I've seen that. You know, guys get them too tailored and have a hard time. You need help putting your pants on, help taking them off.
Yeah, Miguel Wilson, fashion designer, suit maker. Thank you so much for talking to us. I really appreciate it, and I need to get it together. Get some more suits. Time to go shopping, I think.
Yeah. Carol, thank you so much. And, you know, we have a store here in the National Harbor, so if we can help any of your listeners. They're more than welcome to come out of Miguel Wilson's store in National Harbor. We also have an Instagram page, Miguel Wilson Collection.
All right, Miguel Wilson Collection. Thank you so much. That is the Daily Drum for this Thursday, May 19th. I'm Harold Fisher.